Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Hello and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. As always, I'm your host, Roy Richards. Over the past several programs, we've been talking about relationships with your spouse and life partner, with your preteen and teenage offspring, and last week we talked about relationships with aging parents. And if you missed any of those programs, you can go back and listen at any time. That's the joy of internet radio. But this week we're going to launch a series of programs on a formula that I introduced last summer. It's called the OPENS formula, O-P-E-N-S. It's a formula just for you that opens the second half of your life to the joy and fulfillment that you were placed on earth to have. And as I'll discuss in a minute, I'm going to modify the formula ever so slightly. But to review, the O in OPENS stands for an optimistic outlook on today and tomorrow, the world and your place in it. Absolutely essential if we're going to renew in a positive way. The P is for prayer. And we're talking about prayer in a broad sense, regardless of your particular religious beliefs. It's a spiritual connection to God or the universal intelligence, however you want to label it, but it's knowledge beyond your current brain, connection with the universe, so to speak. The E is for exercise, and it's pretty tough to feel good about life sitting around in all day in an out-of-shape body, so the exercise is important. Nutrition goes along with it. That's what the N is. And there's a lot of truth in the old saying, you are what you eat, and I might add, and what you drink. Now for the modification. Last summer, the S in OPENS stood for sleep, and a good night's sleep is extremely important. But for most of us, good sound sleep will accompany an optimistic outlook, a good regimen of exercise and nutrition. And the modification I'd like to make is this. The S now stands for service to others. You know, no matter how much we improve our bodies and our minds, we can never find true joy and satisfaction, contentment, until we care about someone else and service the needs of others, those around us, those around the world, however you want to define your interests. But other people have to be a part of it and your service to them. And that's our revised OPENS formula. And we will touch each day on a particular area of that formula, and we'll launch our journey today with the O, an optimistic outlook on life. And our first guest today will talk about a positive approach toward aging and all other aspects of life and how this positive approach can help you to attract good things. And our second guest will tell us how we can have a stress-free family vacation this summer. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Now let's get to it. When was the last time you were asked for ID when you ordered a drink in the bar? Okay, I'm stretching it a bit. Few, if any, of us at age 46 or 56 or whatever are attempting to look like we're 21. But the fact remains that millions of folks at middle age, we men as well as you women, are attempting to look younger than our chronological age. And our guest today, award-winning author and coach Beverly Nadler, passionately offers this piece of advice. Stop. Put away that tube of anti-aging cream, the night serums and chemical peels. There is no fountain of youth that turns a 50-year-old into a 30-year-old. That's the bad news, but now the good news. Beverly says, although you can't reverse the hands of time, you can reverse the effects. More important, she says, at middle age or any age, you can effortlessly, I have trouble saying that word for some reason, achieve your heart's desires. Deliberately attract and create more of what you really want in life, good health, positive relationships, joy, harmony with your surroundings, even wealth, if that's your goal. And she's here to tell us how. And Beverly Nadler is a compelling and inspiring speaker, a trainer, a consultant, a reprogramming coach, and a media personality. She brings new perspectives and insights to topics related to holistic health and healing, as well as personal and spiritual growth. And she's award-winning of author of several books, including an updated 2012 edition of Vibrational Harmony, The Real Secrets of Success, Health, and Happiness. And Beverly lives by what she teaches. In 1994, she self-healed herself of cancer. When a doctor operated, he found a completely dead tumor, and she permanently shed 25 pounds and reprogrammed herself to love exercise. I wish I could do that. Hello, Beverly. It is indeed an honor to have you on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Well, and I am delighted to be here, and thank you so much for that very compelling introduction. You know, sometimes you even forget what it is that you know about yourself because you're just so caught up in, you know, your everyday life. But everything you said is the truth, and while we can't reverse the aging, absolutely, we can feel younger, we can look younger, and they can test us. There are tests that do chronological aging as opposed to the way our body's aging, and yes, in that case, we can be younger. But we do need to be in vibrational harmony with health and youth, and that is the secret.
So that's to begin. All the anti-aging products are useless unless you are in that vibrational harmony. I guess that's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying. And you know where it really, really begins? It begins in the mind.
Yeah.
You have to believe that these things are going to work for you. They actually work for you if you already believe, I am youthful.
Yeah.
I can be youthful. These things work. I feel youthful. And then you do the kinds of things that help you to be younger.
Yeah.
You exercise. You think in a positive way. Meditation is wonderful. They've done a tremendous amount of research on how so many people with high blood pressure, with heart problems, with anxiety, depression, all of these things actually become more centered, more balanced, more harmonious just through meditation. And some people think that meditation is difficult. They can't really do it because they're concerned, because their mind starts thinking, well, let me tell you something. That's the job of your mind. It is always going to think. You have to retrain it. So you sit there quietly, focusing on your breath, and your mind does what it does, and you just don't pay attention to it. And if you do pay attention to it, then you remind yourself and say, oh, and just go back to breathing. Eventually, your mind understands that when you sit quietly in this meditative, when I'm going to say meditative pose, it's just sitting quietly. You don't have to cross your legs. It doesn't do anything special.
Yeah.
But your spine should be straight. And when you're doing that, eventually your mind says, oh, this is my quiet time. And so there's less going on. It's not difficult. And it is something that has been taught in India, you know, for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And in America, I'd say, you know, the past 20, 30 years, people have begun to understand how important it is.
Well, so many of us at middle age are seeking change, personal growth, joy in life, spiritual healing, financial independence, professional success. And there are thousands of motivational books, CDs, workshops, seminars. Why do so few of us get what we want? I know so many times we're inspired for a few days and then it wears off, and we return to the same old negative patterns and behaviors we had before. Why is that?
Because people do not know two very basic things. The first very basic thing is that we live in a universe of law and order, and there are specific ways that this universe works.
Huh.
And they happen to be what I write about. But these are the laws, universal laws. There's laws of physics, the laws of energy.
Yeah.
It has to do with law of polarity, law of vibration, law of relativity. And I describe this with ease in my books. When we don't know about, we don't understand this, the confusion and frustration takes over.
Yeah.
Once the confusion and frustration takes over, we go into a stress state and our mind goes back to its default system. Our mind is like a computer.
Default system. I love that word because it's so much like the computer.
Well, yeah. My mind is our mind, and I'm talking now about the subconscious, which is probably, depending on which expert you read, somewhere between 90 and 95% of everything that we do, everything that motivates us, comes from the subconscious, not the conscious mind. So we automatically go back into this default programming, and whatever that program was before you took this inspirational or motivational course, you just revert to that behavior. And then what happens is you say, well, I guess it doesn't work. I can't change. And you don't even...
I gave it 2 weeks.
I know very well what you're talking about, which is why I write the things that I write, and I urge people, really urge them, to recognize these laws are real. And the second part of this, two things, is to understand how the mind works. And that it is like a computer.
Yeah.
That you have to reprogram it. It will not reprogram itself. So
This is fascinating. Tell us about how most of us are programmed into the old mass mind paradigm of what you call the material model that says things are and conditions are solid and stable and can't be easily changed. So, you know, if we're this way, that's just the way things are and makes change so difficult.
Well, you really read my book very well, because that is it. The mass mind paradigm tells us, this is it. You can't change it. The truth is, when we get to understanding the energy model, and that's why understanding how energy works is so important, is that we can change. The one basic thing about energy, the most basic thing, is that it is always changing.
Yeah.
We don't accept that, so we keep going back to the same old stuff.
I like the way you say everything is energy and everything includes you.
That we're energy beings, and that's what's wonderful.
And given the energy model, change can take place naturally and with ease. You're not stuck on neutral like the old material model says.
Well, we do have to change our perspective.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as the self-help books, as good as they are and as valuable as they are and as well-meaning as the authors are and probably very knowledgeable. But when they give us the impression that, well, just change the way you think and everything is different, and then you change the way you think. In other words, you consciously choose a different thought.
Yeah, you think
but
you're changing.
But if it's not changing at the subconscious level,
that's
changing.
That's the key. You think you're changing the way you think, but you're not really changing the subconscious.
Right.
So you're not changing at all, really.
Yeah, it's like you're not, you know, you can do something different in, you will say, your physical computer, but if you haven't actually changed the settings, it's going to go right back to where it was, and you'll say, darn. You might say something worse than that. Why is it doing
this?
This
is a G-rated show.
So. Yeah. Okay. So that's why I said darn. We don't change the default settings in our brain, then we don't change what's happening on the outside. Our manifestation, our experience is dependent on that. That's what vibrational harmony is all about. Being in harmony with the way things work, and using our skills to change our programming. I'm a reprogramming coach. It's one of the things that I do. My favorite thing to do is to actually speak and teach people about this, but I work with clients to help them change their programs so that they actually can experience a life of more youth, more health, more happiness, more joy by finding, we literally look for and find the belief systems, the programs that are operating. We look at them. There are methods, and I have one of them. One of these methods is in my book. There are other methods which I use to change them, to release them. We don't just ignore them because they're not going to change.
Yeah.
You actually have to, and you don't get angry at yourself. In fact, you get happy that you discovered them.
Yeah, that's the first stage to changing anything is to be aware, to have awareness of what you're trying to do, and be aware of those negative thoughts that keep popping up, for instance.
Absolutely. And then when you're aware of the negative thoughts, you can say, I must have some kind of programming or belief that causes me to consistently say whatever it is that you might say about yourself, like, oh, people are saying things, you know, I'm so stupid, or I always forget, or I never do things right, or why do these things happen? You know, when we say that enough, we're actually giving ourselves messages that are not in vibrational harmony with youth and health and happiness. Yeah. They're in vibrational harmony with depression or anxiety or frustration. And so we just get more of the same and stress. And nothing ages us faster than
an
overwhelming amount of stress. And most of it is mental and emotional.
So how can you begin to send out positive vibrations or what you'd call good energy so that we can attract the people, things, events, and circumstances that you desire and get rid of that negative energy that's attracting the wrong results?
Well, that's what my work is all about.
Yeah.
But first, it's noticing these things.
Yeah.
A simple technique, which is someone can do who is not choosing to read my book, is when you notice a negative, you notice yourself that you just said something negative about yourself or about your life, and you can say, no, that's not true. I release that energy. Literally breathe out. It's like, I release that energy. I choose to accept that my life works or that I am healthy. You actually begin talking to yourself. That's when I say yourself, I'm talking about your subconscious. But there's also a part of you that is your superconscious. And both of them are, quotes, unconscious. So when we talk about the unconscious self, it's both the superconscious, which is, best way I can describe it is the God self, the spiritual self that can do anything.
Universal intelligence, sometimes it's called, in connection with
it is. It's your innate intelligence.
Yourself.
So you're talking to both, and you're instructing them and saying, I don't want to feel this way anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to think this way anymore. But it's something that must be done repetitively.
Yeah.
People, you know, this is the problem when you go to these seminars and things, is you think, okay, I got it, that's it. And you don't reinforce anything when you come home.
No,
it won't stay because you've had a lifetime of something totally different. So it has to be reinforced.
Yeah, no, I certainly see that. And when you talk about negative thoughts about yourself, that also applies when you have negative thoughts about somebody you meet or somebody you don't know that well. Just if you stop and think, why am I thinking this negative thought about this person? How is that doing me any good or the other person any good to criticize someone else or to have negative thoughts about how they look or you know, anything else about them?
That's great, because you're talking about judgment. And you know something? The more you can let go of judgment, because we don't really know what's going on with everybody's got their load that they're carrying.
Yes.
And we can meet them at a time when some really disturbing things are going on in their life, and we pick up a vibration and we think, that's the way that person is, and we start judging them. And the judgment not only affects them, it affects us. We're all connected in this energy universe.
Yeah, that's very true.
So that's a wonderful point that you brought out, and I thank you for that.
Well, anyone that goes around thinking negative thoughts about other people all the time is not a pleasant person to be with. And
you're not kidding.
And definitely has negative thoughts about themselves. I've never met a really positive individual who made negative comments about other people very often.
Yeah, gossiping and all that kind of it's totally against what your program and what your work is about. I know that because I was on the website. And you I love your title, Middle Age Can Be the Best, what is it, your best
time. Age.
and it can be, because we can, you know, so many things when we're young and we think things are a certain way, we can let go of a lot of that as we get older. And we also perhaps our children are grown, if we've had children, out of the house, and we've got a decent amount of, let's say, some savings, and we can take time to enjoy. One of the things that makes life very, very worthwhile is enjoy nature. There's a vibration.
Sure.
We talk about vibration. The vibrations that come from just being in a natural environment of perhaps if you're not, you know, if you live in the city, going to the botanical gardens or going to the zoo or going to a park.
Yeah.
But being in those vibrations, they affect you positively.
Well, my wife, Gloria, and I both are fellow cancer survivors, but only after chemo and radiation for her and a delicate operation and radiation for me. And I've got to ask, how are you able to heal yourself of stage 4 cancer 20 years ago?
Wow. I'm just listening to what you had to say. I had no idea. I have a mental state, and I had especially then, that chemotherapy and radiation would kill me. Now, obviously, it didn't kill you, and it didn't kill your wife, and it doesn't kill everybody. But we know that chemo and radiation attacks some positive cells. I'm a very strong believer in if I believe this, this is what it'll do to me. In other words, I felt that for me, it would be the worst thing that I could do. So what happened, it's kind of an interesting story. I'll try to say it as quickly as I can. I did not go to a doctor to find out I had cancer. I believed that I did, but I also believed that the body heals itself when it has it needs. I come from a nutritionist mother and a chiropractic ex-husband. So I did everything that I and a lot of spiritual work that I've done. So I did everything that I could, continually telling myself I am healing myself. In other words, I would have create the images of healing, but I also did the things that I know work. I had organic food, I juiced, I went to chiropractor, I also had reflexology, massage, I did a lot of breathing techniques and a lot of mental work. And I talked to God and I said, if I meant to heal all of this work that I'm doing, I will heal. And finally, I decided I needed to go to find out for sure. It was time. I had worked on my mind. I worked on my mind a lot. And I found that I did have stage 4 cancer, and I needed to have surgery immediately. But even though it's interesting because the test showed stage 4 cancer, but when the surgeon operated on me, he was standing over me when I came out of the surgery staring at me, and I said, like, what? And he said, I never saw anything like this. He said, you had a totally dead, large, encapsulated tumor. But he wasn't interested to know how I killed it.
You know what's fascinating? What I got the most out of what you said is that, you know, people talk about praying for a result, but God wants you and I to participate and do everything we can to help along rather than just say, God, heal me. You did nutritional things and you had the right attitude and you went about it so that you work with God and don't expect God to do all the work.
Right. And God works through us, right?
Yeah.
So we need to do what we need to do. But it was my belief that if I used my mind and I did all of these physical things, if I was meant to live, that was part of it.
Yeah.
I meant to live to be able to tell this story, to be able to do the work that I feel I'm here to do, which is teaching, things like we're talking about today and other things and about nutrition and so on, then I will survive. And I not only survived, I thrived. I'm in the best health of my adult life.
That's great. Well, how best can someone preview and purchase your life-changing book, Vibrational Harmony, The Real Secrets of Success, Health, and Happiness?
Just go to my website, which is BeverlyNadler.com.
Oh, I see.
And it's BeverlyNadler.com. And there's a menu on the side and there's a menu in the center. In the center is just a few links. One of those links is Vibrational Harmony. It's about the book. It'll tell you about the book, and it'll also tell you how to order it. And if you are in vibrational harmony with what you read, I hope you will order it. It can make a big difference in your life.
Now,
just
you had mentioned that,
these principles and how
you
your mind
also
works.
Offer a free book for downloading it at another website. How does someone get a hold of that and tell us
about
this?
Okay, this is about it's about mastering stress. Secrets of Mastering Stress.
I see.
And we certainly need to do that.
Yeah.
That's at another website, which is called vibrationalharmony.biz. B-I-Z.
Oh, I see.
Has nothing to do with business. It is a free download. Just happens that I had saved that name, and I decided to put this free download, and it's a full ebook.
Yeah.
To put it on that site, and it gives you to understand what stress is, what it does to your body, how to recognize it, and what to do about it.
Yeah.
It is the small things that you can do in the midst of your day, and the longer things that you can do so that you can forestall stress and how to deal with it, because we all have it. It's not going to change. This is part of life. We have tension and relaxation, so stress is part of it.
Well, when we're through here, I think I'll run over that website and download that. That sounds like something that definitely I'd like to look at. But a preview of Beverly Nadler's book, Vibrational Harmony, has certainly opened my eyes. I think I understand better why so many of us, myself included, become so inspired when reading an inspirational self-help book or going to a seminar, only to forget all about it and lapse into prior unhealthy ways of thinking and acting. And I urge all of you to become acquainted with the energy model and to convince yourself that negative aspects of your life are not set in stone and that you can attract unrestrained joy, health, and fulfillment into your life the easy way without pain and strain. And our guest, Beverly Nadler, is also a poet, and she's offered to read a poem for us to close this segment of today's program.
Okay, and it happens that I wrote this yesterday, so it's perfect.
fresh off the press.
Yep, fresh. You're the first ones to hear it.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's called Happiness is a Choice.
Yes, it
Happiness
is.
Happiness is a choice. Choose it. You have a powerful mind. Use it. Decide that no matter what life sends your way, you look for reasons to be happy each day. In this third-dimensional duality of life, there exists both pleasure and strife. And when you seek, you will find your blessings, though they're sometimes disguised as lessons. Ask yourself, what makes your soul sing? Friends, family, pets, what pleasures they bring? What made you happy as a young girl or boy? What filled your heart with laughter and joy? You'll always feel happy when you appreciate, or when you do yoga or meditate. Sing, dance, spend time in nature, have fun, and your happy vibrations benefit everyone. Compassion and sharing, loving and caring, helping people who are in need. Happiness comes from doing good deeds. Happy people contribute to the greater good. It could be globally or in their own neighborhood. Happy people know we're all sisters and brothers. They don't commit crimes or hurt one another. Happiness is a skill. You must use it, because if you don't, you can lose it. Neuroscientists say happiness changes our brain. Oh, in spite of life's ups and downs, it helps keep us sane. When we're happy, dopamine and endorphins increase. And when we're not, these happy brain chemicals can cease. It's a fact that happiness enhances your health. And though it may or may not increase your wealth, happy people know when enough is enough, that happiness doesn't come from buying more stuff. All these reasons and more keep you in the flow. That's why choosing happiness is the smart way to go.
Boy, that in a nutshell sums up, I think, what our program is all about. And if people would just listen to that, they sure as heck can follow your advice both in that and read your book, Vibrational Harmony. And I think you'll discover that, indeed, our program title is tried and true, middle age. In fact, any age, the age you are today, can be your best age. And thank you so much, Beverly Nadler, for your insightful comments, and best of success in all of your ventures and in just living that happy life that you're living.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. It has been an enormous pleasure.
Likewise. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, a recent survey reveals that 88% of us Americans plan on taking a vacation this year, and I sincerely hope this includes you. Unless your kids are grown or unless you pack them off to summer camp, this will be a family vacation, including spouse and kids. And I think we'd all agree the primary purpose of a family vacation is for both parents and kids to get away from the stress of work, school, and the same old, to kick back, see new things, have fun, and come back refreshed and recharged. And I also bet that a lot of us would acknowledge it often doesn't work out that way. Our preteens or teens undoubtedly have a very different idea of fun vacation and may not even want to come along at all. And if you plan on driving, there's the good old traffic jams, construction zones, car trouble, non-coordinated bathroom stops, kids bored and fighting in the car. And if you're flying, rushing to catch a plane, intolerably long security lines, delayed flights, missed connections, and once you arrive, squabbles over how to spend each day, teen complaints and discipline challenges. And this, has this ever happened to you? The trip home is very depressing. Your vacation's over and you're more stressed out than when you started. And once home, you vow no more stressful vacations. But then you do it all again the next year, the same thing all over again. And our next guest, Kim Hardy, tells us this year can be different. And she's here to share ideas on how to de-stress this year's family vacation. And Kim Hardy is a popular motivational speaker. She speaks at company outings, conferences, churches, colleges to rave reviews. She's author of 6 books, and her latest newly released book is titled Relaunch, 5 Keys to Getting Past Stuck and Stress at Work and Life. Certainly sounds like a good objective. And she's also a frequent guest on radio and TV, and we're extremely pleased to have her with us today. And hello, Kim, and a warm welcome to Middle Age TV.
Hey, it's so good to be here, or listening to you share about it. I thought you were probably on one of my family vacations listening to you just share.
Well, you suggest creating a family fun pack. What should this encompass, and how should it be designed and developed? How do we do one of these fun packs?
Oh, yeah. I think it's one of the best things that a family can do is before the vacation, they need to come together as a family and develop a family fun pack. And the family fun pack is simply this. It's all of the guidelines and the rules and everything we need to all be a part of to make sure that our vacation is as de-stressed as possible, that we don't have a whole lot of stress.
Yeah.
And see, the great part about this, if everyone buys into it, then everyone feels responsible to making sure that we all have fun.
Yeah, that's
and
a good
it will
point.
Look different for every family.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you say rules, that kind of, you know, goes against the spontaneity and the fun that we expect to have on vacation.
Yes, you know what? You can give it any name. You could even say, let's have our guidelines.
Yeah,
and let's, you know, whatever you want to say. But basically, it gets down to making sure we have boundaries in terms of making sure that we don't cross those lines, because it's so easily to do it when you're frustrated.
Yeah.
And as you said earlier, all the things that can go wrong on a vacation. But if we all agree, listen, no matter what happens, we're going to have fun. We are going to have fun.
Unfortunately, you can't dictate that someone else is going to have a good time. But I guess if everyone buys into that concept, it works better.
And that's the thing. If everybody buys in, and here's the way that you can help them to buy in. You can, for example, where do we want to go on the vacation?
Yeah.
You know, for us, we did a Florida vacation, and that included Disney World and all of those things.
Yeah.
And if we're going to go to different parks, we all said, okay, who wants to go to this park and that park? So we would take a family vote. We would make it so much fun.
Yeah.
But we would say, okay, in order for us to do that, we got to make sure that everybody's going to be patient in line, because it's going to stand in long lines. We got to be patient with one another in the car, because sometimes we're going to get, you know, testy with one another. And we just bought, everybody just had a good time of just bringing it. Now, we were sometimes even in developing the family fun pack. Sometimes you would get one of the children to go, but I want to do this.
Yeah.
But here was one of the guidelines. We said, come on. We said, we're going to be flexible. Here's our opportunity.
Yeah, I'm thinking of
one day.
when I want to go to the Rockies, my wife wants to go to a beachfront sojourn in Cape Cod, and my 17-year-old daughter would rather stay home and hang out and attend a rock concert with her boyfriend, Justin, and our 12-year-old son wants to attend a Chicago Cubs game at Wrigley Field. How do you make everyone happy?
Yeah, well, you know what? That's the thing. It's all really, it really is a compromise.
Yeah.
And that, let's try as much as possible. Maybe not on one vacation we can get everybody's desires in.
Yeah.
But if we can say, hey, this year or this particular vacation, we'll do this because,
yeah,
so, you know, this family member loves it. But next year, we'll make sure that we focus in on what you want to do.
Yeah,
it has
that
to
would
be a compromise, or it's not going to work.
Yeah, no, it definitely wouldn't. And if you're going to the Rockies, maybe go to a baseball game in Denver.
Why?
Well, summer is here, and some of us may have already booked a flight or a resort or made some definite plans. It's probably the best time to do this family fun pack, I guess, would be early, maybe February or something like that, before all the plans are made. But if we've made a lot of plans already, should we still try to do a fun pack? Yeah, definitely.
Even if it's the week before or two days before, it will be worth it. And here's the thing: make even that fun. Don't make it where nobody wants to come to the table. This is what we would do. I'm serious.
That would be the first challenge with your teenagers, is to get them to come to the table.
I know. But we would do it where maybe we order some pizza, and we made this fun. We didn't just go, everybody sit down right now, and we're going to make the family fun pack. Well, nobody wants to be a part of that.
Have a little bribe with a pizza.
Yeah. So we kind of started off in a party fun mode, developing it, and allowing everybody to put some type of insight or advice or something they wanted to do as a part of the family fun pack. Because, again, it's about the buy-in for the entire family. And the overarching goal is that everybody wants to have fun.
Yeah, that's for sure. When you give us a few recommended vacation strategies to create the best trip ever, what are some of the things that we should do?
Well, you know, one of the things is I think we sitting down, even before, if at all possible, before you sit down and say, we are going here, let's let the whole family talk about where they would like to go.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah,
instead
you know,
of the parents just dictating, well, we're going to New York this year, and we're going to do this and that.
And here's the thing. One of the things, sometimes you can't get, we have a family of six, and sometimes you can't get a trip where everybody likes, but here's what you can do. On every trip, there is something that you can find that that one person still would like.
Yeah.
My son loved go-karts. Well, I'm not a go-kart person, but because he would go on the vacation that everybody else decided, we made sure that go-kart riding was included in that vacation so that he would have a part of it and say, yeah, I had fun, I had a good time.
Yeah.
And I think that's the important part, is making sure that you remember that it is about the family, it's about having fun, it's about creating memories that last.
Yeah, it's so important that you not just take the vacation for me only. You know, I want to do what I want to do and don't think of those memories for all the other members of the family.
It is so true, creating some of the best. When we had a family trip, we actually included another extended family member, my nephew.
Oh.
And on the plane, his parents had just purchased him a $250 iPod.
Oh.
And by the time we got the plane, he realized that his iPod had been stolen.
Oh, no.
And, of course, and that was the very beginning of the trip, and everybody was just upset. And he said, gave us focus, he said, you know what, if this is the worst thing that happens in this entire trip, I'm okay. And I said, what? He said, listen, nobody died, nobody's sick, and I get to be with my family.
Well, he was wise beyond his years.
He was wise beyond his years, and that helped me so much. And, of course, he was able to recuperate, you know, I mean, he was able to get something else later on. But his whole focus was, we're going to be a family. I'm going to spend time with you guys. He had a great perspective, and I think you have to do that while you're, you know, developing that family fun pack. Keep in mind, it is about that family unity. It is about lasting memories. And material things that go away, but family, oh, my gosh.
That's what are some of the biggest mistakes you can make while you're on vacation?
The biggest mistake that you can make is trying to have a perfect vacation.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Perfect vacation. I mean, we want everything planned to the T, that, oh my gosh, we get to the park on time, we leave on time,
yeah.
we budgeted $5 per child or whatever.
I found that in my history, my worst vacations were those where everything was planned out, you know, you had to be here by such and such a date, and generally,
it's okay to plan. Just don't put perfection in the plan. That's what it is. Have the have flexibility, and say, oh well, okay. Well, let's think of another alternative. And fight to have. You gotta have fight to have fun.
Yeah, that's true. Fight
You really do. We had a situation at Disney World where we had a wonderful Disney World trip, but on the way back going into the parking lot, we remembered that we all forgot where we parked. As a matter of fact, we didn't even look. We were so excited. We jumped out of the van, and no one out of six people looked to see where we parked. So we spent the next hour
pictures of
Goofy
and Mickey Mouse and all those you're supposed to look at.
And we were tearing down all of that family unity and fun that we had all those hours of standing in line and laughing because we didn't take the time to see where we had parked. Well, you know what? We decided from now on, it's everybody's responsibility to remember where did we park the rental van.
I chuckle so much because we used to live near Disneyland in California, and we used to have that same type of experience. We forget where we parked.
But see what happens here, even on the phone. You see how we laugh? You have to find the laughter in it. I know at the moment it doesn't seem like it's funny, but if that's a part of the family fun pack, we are going to laugh on this vacation.
Yeah. Well, the family can laugh at each other for having lost
laugh.
The car like
let's
that.
Because
definitely at some point you're going to find it.
right.
Well, let's talk briefly about your brand new book, Relaunch, 5 Keys to Getting Past Stuck and Stress at Work and Life. And in your book, you describe your personal experience where several years of financial stress and working in a job you hated, and I can certainly relate to that because I did that for about 30 years. But was there one event or a series of events that caused you to conclude that there was something better for you and that you could get past stuck and stress right where you are? Because I think that was a great revelation you had there.
Yeah, you know, I got to the point that I tried everything else and it simply just didn't work.
Yeah.
And I realized that I was in a situation where I couldn't quit a job that I hated at the time.
Yeah.
And so I had a choice. Either I was going to be miserable or I was going to maximize my situation.
Yeah.
And that really took changing my perspective. Part of it was recognizing and acknowledging I was stuck.
Yeah.
I was stuck and I was stressed. And it affected how I saw life and it affected my relationships with my family, in particular my husband and my children.
Yeah.
And I realized I had to do something different or it was not going to get better for me or my family.
Yeah, it's so weird when people keep doing things the same way and expect things to get better without recognizing that they're doing things the wrong way. Well, we don't have time to go into great detail on your book, but can you give us one or two of the 5 keys that you mentioned in your book for getting past stuck and stressed?
I can. I'm actually going to give you that last key, which is the 5th key, and that's create healthy outlets to lift your stress and keep your sanity.
Oh, I see.
And I learned that every day I had to do something with my stress. I had stressors, and everybody has stressors, but sometimes we don't think that they affect us that much, but they do. And
yeah,
so every
they
day
do.
I do something, and I would encourage people to do something, exercise, listen to music, meditate, do something to de-stress your life, so that you can experience a better life and enjoy your family.
Yeah, just intentionally do that. And
yes.
I found that, you know, when I was stressed at work, it just carried over, ruined life in general.
Exactly.
You know, you come home, you don't enjoy the kids and the spouse as much as you should, and you just don't enjoy much of anything.
That is so true.
Well, that's a wonderful suggestion. Well, how best can someone preview and purchase your book?
They can go to Amazon. It's on Kindle, or they can buy it in book form on Amazon. And if they want to reach me, they can contact me through Kim Hardy Speaks kimhardyhughes.com, kimhardyhughes.com, and I would just love to help anyone de-stress their life and achieve more, and I would love for them to contact me.
Yeah, I would. If you're looking at arranging a meeting or something, Kim would be a great motivational speaker, because she certainly, her purpose in life is very similar to ours here on this program, and that is to get that stress and get you unstuck in life. And, you know, her message is 100% in line with ours, that at middle age, the best times in life need not be over, but the ball is in your court, and the future is up to you, not to anyone else. And as I think you say somewhere in your book, you can't control everything that happens around you, but you and you alone can determine how you react, and you can never really change anyone else, but you can change yourself.
That's right.
Yeah, and I recommend that you preview both Kim's book, Relaunch, and my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, because they definitely complement each other. And you can find my book at www.middleagerenewal.com, and both books are on Amazon. And I want to thank you a million, Kim, for being with us today with your most timely topic. And I hope that all of you out there will take time before that vacation to get the family together for a fun evening planning on what you're going to do before you go out, and edict that everyone's going to have fun and this is the way it's going to be. Thanks a million, Kim, and best of success.
Oh,
and
thank you. Same to you.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.